Welcome to Season 13 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go! Welcome back. I am excited you're here. I have to start with a lie. I told you we were going to take a little break, but when I've told that to a few people, it came with a resounding, don't do that. It really adds a lot of value to my commute, my travel, wherever I listen to podcasts. And because of four or five people, we're going to continue right on through here in season 13. We do have some great guests lined up, but I'm going to cover primarily this season solo for a couple reasons. The first is we're starting a brand new show that's more video based. It's going to be called Today I Begin, which comes from one of my favorite Latin terms, nunc cepi, which you've probably heard me say a couple times, which means today I begin. And so we're going to be telling stories both of great leaders today as well as great leaders in the past and some of the decisions and the things that they made throughout their journey to become a great leader in an effort to help you begin being a better leader today. So I'm really excited about that project. That gets started this week. So we'll be coming out with episodes of that on an ongoing basis, and we'll make sure to let you know where those episodes are going to be coming out. I'm also working on the brand new Welder Leader book that is consuming a lot of time in between all the stuff we're doing at LearnLoft. So I'm going to keep doing these shows, but I'm going to primarily cover season 13 alone. But I do have some great episodes coming up. This week's episode is really important because for a long time, I thought the very best teams always worked in the same location. And in many ways, I still do. I think in order to be the best possible team and to get the best performance out of a team, it does require real human interaction beyond video chats and things of that nature. Having said that, my opinion has been changed. I do think that because of the cost, commuting, employee demands, finding the right talent, that this technology, there's just been an explosion of remote work, which means most organizations out there currently use some form of remote work, which means many of you out there either leading a team or reporting into a manager, report into a remote manager. So I wanted to do a show specifically about remote work and how, if you're leading a team, some things that you can do to be a better leader of a remote team. And then second, if you are reporting into a manager remotely, what are some things that you can encourage your leader to do to better help you do your job better and be more effective? Well, I think it really starts with research. And that is, the latest research has shown a 115% increase in telecommuting over the last 10 years. I'm going to repeat that because that's a huge number. 115% increase in telecommuting in just 10 years. People are traveling. People are working remotely way more. 43% of U.S. workforces currently work remotely. Almost half of U.S. workforces work remotely. I mean, look at the explosion of WeWork and some of these co-working spaces all around the country. I mean, it's just more cost-effective than spending the money on really big office spaces, getting people to come in every single week and instead have people work from home, give them the work-life flexibility and the balance that many people want. Now, the real question is, how do we do this really effectively? Because clearly organizations are doing it. But at the same time, it does not mean it's easy. Just because everybody's doing it because it's cost effective does not mean it's successful. So if you work remotely, what are some challenges that you come across when you work remotely? The number one answer we get when we surveyed people that work remotely was, it really came down to being focused. Because all of a sudden your day, you know, you get up from your bed in the morning, or you go work out, or you do whatever you do in the morning, then all of a sudden most people work out of their house. So their office is either in their bedroom, in the room next door. And so you kind of never disengage from the things that you can be doing throughout the day on a weekend versus working. Now, if you're leading a remote team, it works the opposite. If you have that focus challenge as a remote worker, the biggest challenge that we hear from managers who lead a remote team is all around communication and miscommunication, for that matter. Andrew Sanctus, a sales VP at One Call Care Management, told me, he said, a major difficulty is the lack of visibility into your team's everyday performance. Because if you're only face-to-face once a quarter or less, it's easy to think about, what are my people doing when I'm not there? I mean, yes, we have email. Yes, we have text. Yes, we have maybe a Slack channel or some kind of video conference, Skype or Zoom. We're using technology to better help us be a more effective team. But the vast majority of the time, most managers have no clue what their remote workers are doing. They just have to kind of deal with the results that they see at the end of a month, a quarter, a week, or wherever it is they measure from. So these are real challenges. So on the leader side, or on the manager side, we have communication or miscommunication as being a really big challenge. We have the idea of really not knowing what our teams do or our people do when we're not there. And it's just so easy for things to become real distant. Those are the challenges, right? Both for the remote worker and the remote manager. Well, I finally, personally, took this leap. We were looking for talent to help us at LearnLoft, and the talent that we wanted just simply we didn't have in Charlotte, so we looked to the outside. We looked for people that weren't in Charlotte, that we had relationships with or we had developed relationships with, and we've hired two people remotely. And it's really opened my eyes to those three struggles that I just mentioned from a manager's perspective when leading a remote team. I've experienced all of those things. And in the latest hire that we made, it really forced me to think long and hard about how I could do a better job at leading this person remotely. So I'm going to walk you through three things that I did and that we've learned from other guests on the podcast and researching what works best here to help you if you lead a remote team. And one of those three things, if you don't lead a team and you just work remotely, you should make sure that you're having this type of conversation with your manager or your leader in order to improve your performance. So the first thing that every leader of a remote team should be doing is spending a large amount of time on the front end describing to that person and conveying to that remote worker the purpose of why you're doing what you're doing. This is overlooked. It's like, we're hiring you for this role, so you should just get it and you should do your job well. Well, I'm here to share some bad news. If that's the only thing you're expecting from your remote employees, it will fail. Your turnover rate will be ridiculously high, and the people that report into you remotely will not respect you the way they could, and they're not going to give you everything that they have. But when we start with purpose, when we start with why your team or your business does what it does and who it's helping and who it's impacting, and we tell that story over and over and over again, and we spend a lot of time up front with that new remote team member as to making that connection for the work that they're doing and the impact that it's having on the world, and the impact that it can have on the success of this team, all of a sudden, the person on the other end will take the decisions that they make every single day remotely and those choices that they have to make every day about being focused more seriously. So you could do it a lot of different ways. The way we do it, the way I do it, is I had two separate calls, hour long each, really digging in deep as to where we got our purpose from, who we impact, what our story is, and why leadership is so important in the world. That way I can get those remote employees not only excited about working at LearnLoft, but working really excited about making an impact in the work that they do. So that's the first thing. One, spend as many hours as it takes to convey the purpose of what it is that you and your team or your organization are doing. The second and most important thing, and this I learned directly from a remote team member that was working at a really large software company remotely, it was a meeting structure. A meeting structure. So instead of just jumping on that Zoom call to just add them into a team meeting, these are one-on-one calls with remote employees that answer three simple questions. The first one, what have you done? What have you done? So the last week, we do this on a weekly basis. So every Monday, my remote team starts this new meeting one-on-one with, what have you done? What have you done in the last week? Recap it for me. Second most important question, what are you working on? So question one, what have you done? Question two, what are you working on? What are you working on this week? Question three, where do you need help? Where do you need help? So they worked on something last week to stay really focused that's going to help move the needle because you told them a purpose and why you're doing it and conveyed vision about where you're going and how they impact that vision. So then they're filling up that week with task lists or things that are going to help us get there, and they're able to review what they've done that week. They come to the meeting prepared to convey what it is that they've done. Then they jump right into, what are they working on? What's coming up this week that's going to help us move the needle? That's a follow-up from last week that's going to help us get closer to where we're trying to get. And then number three, where do they need help? Because if you're always telling them where they need help, it's not going to sink in. What we want is we want our people, particularly our remote people, to take ownership of these three questions. So they're actually leading the meeting every Monday, and you as a leader are there to coach and improve performance. They're doing the work to describe what it is that they've done. They're describing to you what they're working on. They're taking ownership, and you're empowering them to uncover what needs to be done. And then lastly, you're providing a pathway to help them do their job better, more efficiently, more effectively, or provide additional ideas that could help them do that. So the second thing, just to recap, three questions that if you are a manager, you should have answered in every single meeting with a remote team member. And these should be happening weekly. Don't give me this, we can't meet once a week. Hop on the phone once a week with every single direct report team member and make sure these three questions are prepared. What have you done? What are you working on? And where do you need help? Because when you cover these three things, and then the manager or the leader is actually helping them through this process, powerful things start to happen. People take ownership and they become very proactive in their remote work. The worst thing that we can have happen with remote workers is for it to just be about executing a task. There's a lot of people that can execute tasks. What we need is proactive thinking to complete the tasks and do things beyond what people are being told to do, to solve problems that they're seeing, to make recommendations, to come with ideas. Because the more we get remote workers feeling like that, the better choices they're going to make when they're planning their day, when they're deciding how committed they're going to be to you and your team. So that's the second big bullet, right? Get your meeting scheduled aligned with these three questions. And then the third thing, and maybe the most important thing of all, is to remember that your remote team needs quality relationships with their manager, with their leader. If all you're doing is staying out of the way for your remote workers, you're not doing your job. I'm going to repeat that because it is. If all you're doing is staying out of the way for your remote workers to do what they do, you're not leading. You're just not leading. Trust me, every single person on this earth needs help. They need people to either push them to higher levels of performance or help them solve problems or come up with new ideas or better ways to do things. Leaving someone alone because they're really experienced, that's not leading. That's managing. That's taking the easy road out. That's making remote work distant. What we're after here when leading a remote team is leading them, not managing them. It's your job to lead them, which means you have to have really good relationships with these people. Understand what they're doing, what excites them, where they're trying to go, what's going on in their family life. Anything that you would do with a great friend in your life. Not like too comfortable. I mean, we want to maintain a level of respect and things of that nature when it comes to leading at work. But if you don't have good relationships with your people that you can really push them or motivate them or know that what level they can get to and they're not currently at, they're not going to listen. They're just going to go look for the next remote job so they can work from home and kick it, you know, at the park or at the coffee shop. So those are the three really big things that you can do if you're leading a remote team. I'll recap them. The third, which I really should have mentioned first, which is build really great relationships with your remote team members. If it means you have to travel to go to their place and spend a couple days in their city, do it. Make it happen. If it means spending more time with them up front, outside of work, to really get to know who they are and what they have going on, do that. You don't just get a management job or a manager job by not being able to build relationships. Don't forget about the critical element of building strong relationships with remote team members. Very, very critical. The second bullet is to spend time up front and then revisit on an ongoing basis the purpose and why this team does what it does. Talk about your vision for where this team is going and how they are going to help the team get there. People want to work for purpose. They want to work for companies that are doing things and teams that are doing things that make a difference, that move the needle, that are exciting. Spend as much time as possible, as much time as you think is needed to convey those things on an ongoing basis. And you can't do it enough. I'm just being honest. You cannot do it enough. If you think you do it, you should do it more. People forget. 8, 10, 12 hours a day working, people forget. Give them that extra bit as much as you can. And then lastly, ask these three simple questions in every meeting, weekly meeting you have with a remote team member. What have you done in the last week? What are you working on? And where do you need help? And have your remote team members prepare those three bullets every week. Now, if you're on the remote team member side and you're frustrated with how your manager's leading you, or you don't think you're getting enough, or you're kind of just flying by the seat of your pants, that's a tough spot to be, because it kind of leads to waffling. It kind of leads to, I get the paycheck, all's good. Not all's good. You're capable of more. You're capable of more than just waffling or checking in to the proverbial time clock. It's not what we're called to do. We're called to use our God-given potential to a level that we've never dreamed of. So if you're working remotely and you love the work-life flexibility, which I get, you can go to a kid's soccer game, a practice, you don't have to check in with someone all the time. I think there's a lot of great things to that. But don't just use that flexible home structure to your disadvantage, to not reaching your God-given potential, to not working as hard as you could work or achieving all that you're capable of achieving. Introduce this idea of these three questions in every single meeting to your manager. Say, Bob, Mary, whatever your boss's name is. Say, I was listening to this podcast and I found this really interesting, and I think it might be something I might like to try with you. Every week when we have our meeting, I would like to cover these three questions with you. I'm going to cover what I've done in the last week, maybe even provide a roadmap or examples of things that I've done. I'm going to show you what I'm going to be working on in the next week to help us get where we're trying to go. And then the last thing and the most important thing that I really want from you is, these are the areas that I need help. Because I'm either coming up short here, or I need some new ideas, or I feel a little stuck. I'd really like your ideas and your insight based on your experience in these three areas. I would really like for you to help me here. Ask your manager for getting on board for that for a couple weeks and see how it goes. And now I'm going to say something that might be hard to hear. But if your manager or your remote leader can't carve out 15 minutes for you every single week, and they're not willing to do these three, answer these three questions or provide insight around these three things, or willing to do this with you, you're not working for a good manager. And you should seriously think about looking somewhere else to work. I don't care how convenient it is. I don't care how much money you're making. We all can go to a higher level of performance. We all can elevate our game to another level. And everybody needs a manager or someone in their life that can help them do that. That's what leaders do. You deserve a leader like that. And if you are leading a team, you should be that leader for other people. I think the real beauty here is when you create a structure like this, either as a manager of a remote team or a remote worker who implements this kind of approach, I think you get three real benefits. The first is you get a very clear meeting structure. You know, there's no wasting time. It's like, we're getting together at 10 a.m. on Monday and we're going to cover these three things and I'm going to be prepared for it. The second big thing is if you're a leader, you really transfer that ownership to your people, your remote workers, where you're not preparing for the agenda for the meeting, your team member is. They're taking ownership of what they're doing. And then the other side, as a remote worker, you get to take ownership of your workload. You're not having someone micromanage you all the time. Sure, they can provide ideas or things that you could be working on in the following week or some things that are important, but you're getting ownership of your workload. And then the last thing, you know, from a leadership perspective, is you really get to add value as a remote leader. Nope, we don't need managers. People need to be managed. People need to be led. So when you start having conversations like this with remote team members and you're able to add, you know, when you're able to answer someone when they ask for help and you're able to come up with ideas or share experiences with you or come up with new things that they can do, all of a sudden you're leading. You may be able to pull some of this stuff out of someone where they think they're stuck, but you're able to really coach them to higher levels of performance. So if you're leading a remote team, try these three things. If you're a remote worker, try to get your manager or leader to implement at a minimum this type of meeting structure to both empower yourself and to help elevate your level of performance. It's not always easy to admit that your mind has been changed. I mean, a year ago, even two years ago for sure, I would have said remote work is a joke. I would never have it on my own team. And I would never coach other people to have it. And I was wrong. I think you can be just as productive, if not more productive, as a remote team. You might not have the same level of teamwork because it's difficult when you're not sitting in the same room or, you know, writing on the same whiteboard. But I do think individuals can be more productive remotely if they get the right level of leadership. And even remote teams can be effective if they get together on a regular basis or they carve out specific things to do as a remote team to improve the performance of the group. So if you're leading a remote team or you report remotely, try some of these ideas. And I hope that these ideas will help you in 2018. So until next time, be a good leader at home and at work.